excited to share God's word, and then after the word today, we have several candidates that are going to be baptized today. And I love to have a baptismal service on Easter Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that. And I have two passages of scripture that I want us to focus on. The first is in John chapter 14. So turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to John chapter 14 and verse 19. 14 and verse 19. It's a short passage of scripture. Jesus is speaking here. In verse 19, he says, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." That's a powerful truth. Amen. Because I live, you will live also. That's one of my favorite Easter scriptures. And it's not just because I read that like most of us and I think about one day that when this life is over, there is an eternity waiting for me in glory with my God and my Savior and my Lord. There is a heaven. It is a reality. This life isn't all there is. Amen? Because He lives, we're going to live also. Amen? We think about heaven. It was about 6 years ago that my father passed away. And it was on the 13th of this month. It was close to Easter. And I had such a peace because I knew that as he breathed his last breath, that in an instant he was in the presence of the Lord. Because we have God's word that declares to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I knew that one day I would go to see him again. I would be with him. I knew that my grandparents that had gone on before, that one day I would be with them again. So I rejoice when I read this verse that Jesus says, "Because I live, you shall live also." But I don't want to talk to you about that aspect of it today. I want to talk to you about the difference between an Easter tradition and an Easter triumph. An Easter tradition and an Easter triumph. That's the name of my message today. Because we can come in our traditions and we can enjoy seeing one another and celebrating and singing, and we can enjoy all the aspects of the children's programs downstairs and seeing them receive gifts and having fun. We can have our Easter Sunday picture made with our family. We can go home and have a great Easter lunch with our family and friends. We can do all these traditions, and there's nothing wrong with traditions, but we're not here because of tradition. We're here because of the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that affects us every day. Amen? I wouldn't be here if it was just a tradition. But I've experienced that triumph of Jesus in my heart and life. Amen? So I want you to think about that. Are you living a tradition today, or are you living in a triumph? There's a huge difference. And in Luke chapter 24, I want us to look at the resurrection appearance of Jesus to the disciples. Luke chapter 24, and let's begin with verse 36 and read several verses here as Jesus appears to the disciples. The disciples had been talking. They've been talking about the Lord being risen and that he had appeared to Peter. And then in verse 36 it says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.'" I want you to understand, anytime Jesus, that you have an encounter with him, he is there in your midst, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. And when you invite him into your heart and into your life, that peace, that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind. We're living in uncertain times. There's rumors of wars, and there are wars. There's all kinds of things that could happen, and there's a constant spirit of fear that's trying to come against us. But church, if you placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that because He lives, you're going to live. You know that there's triumph and victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what we face. Amen? We have that peace. Verse 37 says, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed that he had seen a spirit, that they had seen a spirit. Why? Because 3 days before this, they saw Jesus die on the cross. They knew he was buried in the tomb. They knew it. There was no doubt. So they were frightened. They were afraid when they saw him in their midst. Verse 38 says, and he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Fear was still trying to take a hold in their lives. Even though he was resurrected, even though his presence was there, they saw him, but yet that fear was still trying to take hold. Church, I want you to understand, because he lives, you shall live also. And you shall live not with a spirit of fear, but with power and love and a sound mind. In verse 40, or in verse 39, Jesus says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Jesus, in this passage, he's not just showing him, hey, I'm alive. He wants them to know the reality of how his resurrection will affect the rest of their lives. And he wants you to understand today how his resurrection will affect your life. You will never be the same again when you embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you welcome his resurrection power to flow through your life. Amen. He's also proving to them here, it says earlier that they thought they were seeing a spirit, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus is saying, no, feel me, touch me, see the scars in my hands. He's saying, I am flesh and bone. I am the resurrected Christ. Now, there are some people today that are celebrating Easter Sunday, and they'll say things like, well, we're celebrating the human spirit and how it can triumph. Or there's others that will say, well, we're celebrating that his life is still impacting people because he spoke such beautiful words. And yes, Jesus spoke beautiful words. But if that's all that we're here for the wrong reason. We're here because he was literally resurrected. And church, he is still alive and at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you and me. Amen. He's alive now and he will be alive forevermore. And that resurrection gives us assurance that his death on the cross paid the price for our sin. He did everything that was needed to accomplish our salvation. And the resurrection shouts that victory, shouts that triumph, that he is alive. And because he lives, we will live forever. Verse 40 says, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. If Jesus had been a spirit, they would have had a rug problem. Because he eats with them. Look at the next verse. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled and said to him, have you, and he said to them, have you any food here? He wanted to eat with them. They're going to have a problem. They're going to have fish on the floor and honey on the floor if he's a spirit. But notice it says they couldn't believe for joy and they marveled. Have you ever experienced such a tremendous joy in your life that it was just hard to imagine it was truly happening? It was hard to imagine that it was really real because of the joy of that experience. And that's what they're experiencing. Jesus is there. He's alive. He's saying, touch my hands. I'll show you. See the scars. He's saying, I am alive. I'm not a spirit. I'm flesh and bones. I'm a resurrected Christ in your presence. And there was such a joy that filled their hearts. They were overwhelmed by that joy. It was almost more than they could grasp. Is this real? Is he really here? And yes, he was really there. Have you ever experienced that kind of joy? I can remember back years and years and years ago, about 40 years ago, when Melinda and I experienced the birth of our first daughter, Misha. And both of us were young. Both of us didn't have a clue as to how to be a parent. And I remember holding that little baby girl, and she literally fit, but when I held my hands like this, she fit between my two thumbs. And I looked down at that precious gift from God, and I was filled with joy. But it was so overwhelming, it was hard for me to really grasp that it was real. That God blessed us with this precious baby girl and entrusted us to raise her. And that joy was just overwhelming. And that's what they're experiencing there. That overwhelming joy. And church, let me tell you, no matter what we face in this life, there is still an abiding joy deep within our hearts and lives because we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because we know He lives, and because He lives, we shall live also. Amen. So we have that abiding joy even in the midst of tragic things and sorrow and difficulty. We still have that joy, that peace, that presence of God. I love this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to read a couple more verses. It says, so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Jesus loves to be in our presence. Not just on Sunday, not just on Easter, not just when we cry out in a difficult time, but He loves just to be with you, to fellowship with you, for you to rest in Him, for you to experience His love and His grace and His mercy. And that's my prayer today, that if you're here and maybe you're not sure about this Jesus thing, that you'll pray a simple prayer. God, if there is a God, I really want to know you. Because if you mean that simple prayer from your heart, God will reveal Himself to you just like He revealed Himself to the disciples in a tangible way. In a way that you will know without a doubt that He is real, that He loves you, that He cares for you, that He has a plan for your life. And that's my prayer, that not one of us would leave this auditorium today without knowing just as assuredly as the disciples knew that He had risen and He was there for them. He was in their midst. That not one of us would leave this place without that same assurance. Amen. I want us to think about two things as we think about the resurrection of Jesus today. Not just that we have heaven to look forward to one day, But right now, we can experience resurrection power in our lives. It's not something just, oh, because Jesus rose from the dead, one day I'll go to heaven. It's about the triumph of the cross and His resurrection. And that because He is alive today, that same Holy Spirit power that entered into the tomb and brought life to our Savior and Lord is the same Holy Spirit power that flows in our lives and quickens us and empowers us and gives us triumph no matter what we face. I want us to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This same truth is developed in this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Amen? And Romans chapter 1, verse 4 tells us there are two laws in this life that we're going to fall under one of these two laws. One of these two laws speaks of the law of sin and death. The other law has to do with the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And if we don't live with Christ in us and under His law of life in Him, then we forfeit and we live under the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death tries to come, it tries to seep into our lives in any area that it can. It wants to seep into our marriage, to our families. It wants to seep into our vocation, our jobs, and our businesses. It desires to seep into our lives physically, but it desires to seep into our lives spiritually in any area it can to try to bring death. And how many have ever seen the old movie? It's a classic, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston. I love that old movie. It's even though it was made in 1956, it was made before I was born. But it has some powerful truths. And when the Passover comes in that story, they have a unique way of demonstrating the spirit of death coming. And so I had Jesse get a clip of that. And I just want you to watch this little clip, and it's a good way of portraying how that spirit of death comes, if you can dim these lights so they can see it. I think they did a great job at depicting how the spirit of death tries to come and to seep in. And notice that the houses that had the blood over the doors were the houses that He could not penetrate. And today, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior and Lord, we're celebrating the fact that even though death still tries to come against us, Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave. And because He lives, we shall live also. Because He lives, we have that presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Notice in the verse 8, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 11 that I quoted a minute ago, it says that He will give life to your mortal bodies. Now, there are other passages that tell us that one day we will have a glorified body, an immortal body. Hallelujah! The older I get, the more I'm ready for that body. The more I have aches and pains, and this body won't do what my mind tells it to do. I'm looking forward to the glorified body. But this passage is not talking about that. It is mentioning the fact that even in this mortal body, that the same Holy Spirit that entered into the tomb of Jesus is in our lives. He comes into our lives when we accept Christ and we welcome Him and we say, Spirit of God, fill my life. We have the Holy Spirit's power. We have that immortal, that even in this mortal body, we have that power of the resurrection, that wherever there's death trying to seep in, it will overcome the death and bring life. Oh, come on, church. Now, I talked to you about the two laws, the law of sin and death. For a law to be powerful, it has to have something behind that law. And when it's a spiritual law, it has to have a spirit behind it. The law of sin and death has Satan behind it. And we can either live under the law of spirit and death, or we can live under the law of life in Jesus Christ. Amen. John 10:10, a favorite verse. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's that spirit of death. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Amen. So it's not just existing, it's not just struggling through life, it's living a life of abundance through Him, through His Holy Spirit's power working in us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus is speaking. Listen, this is what it's saying about Jesus. Himself likewise shared in the same flesh and blood. Jesus became flesh and blood. He left the glory of heaven. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are people still today that are living in fear of death. Not just fear of death at the end of life, but fear of death in their marriage, fear of death in their job, fear of some kind of death seeping into their finances. And we have lots of different names for death. We have names for economic death. What do we call it? We call it unemployment. We call it too many bills. We call it bankruptcy or poverty. But it's all death. We have names for social death. We call it crime or injustice or hatred or bigotry or other names. But there's also names for domestic death, disappointment, separation, divorce. We have intellectual names for death, like pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency and agnosticism. All these are titles for death. And we can never win a wrestling match with the spirit of death on our own. But when we recognize and we believe and we have faith that Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also, then we welcome the presence of the Spirit to come wherever death is attacking us, and we believe and we receive the life of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus to come into our marriage, into our family, into our economic situation, into whatever we face, and we're not going to live in the fear of death. Amen. We're not going to live in the fear of death. We're going to live in the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said these powerful words. He said, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. When Jesus died, he descended into hell. He took the keys, which represents the authority of hell and death and the grave. And church, he won. He won. So we don't have to fear hell, death, and the grave. And you say, well, Pastor, that all sounds good, but do we really know that Jesus rose again? Yes, we do. And this message isn't designed to lay out all the facts. I've done that in the past. But if you are sincere in your study and you desire to go back and look at the historical evidence, there's only one conclusion that you can come up with. And that is that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He died on the cross. He was put into a tomb. And on the third day, He rose again. And He's alive forevermore. Over 500 eyewitnesses saw Him alive. In the account we just read, the disciples were there and they couldn't hardly believe it. And He said, look at my hands, see the nail prints in my hands. He said, feel me, touch me, I'm alive, I'm real, I'm risen. Not only do we have their accounts, but the disciples, they were martyred, all of them but one, all of them but John, were martyred. They were murdered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, if it had all been a hoax, if they were just playing this big game, when they were confronted with someone that was going to murder them, Peter, it's reported that he was crucified on an X-shaped cross upside down because he didn't feel worthy to die on a cross like his Savior. You don't do that unless you've encountered the resurrected Savior in all of His glory. Amen. You don't lay down your life and martyr your life. You say, oh, I was just kidding. It was just a fun story that we thought we would, you know, have a little fun with. But they didn't. Every one of them gave their lives because the reality of His resurrection. And what that accomplished for them. Not only do we have those sources, we also have sources like Josephus, who was a historian of that time. And in his account, he wasn't a Christian, he wasn't a follower, but in his account of history, he includes in there Jesus who rose again. Church, we're not here because of a fable. We're not here because of some cute little story today. We're not here because Jesus' words still influence people, and thank God they do. But it's more than that. We're here today because Jesus is the Son of the living God. He still changes hearts and lives. You will never, ever be the same again when you say yes to Him. Amen. And some of you may think, wow, this guy's really loud. If you're not used to me, I'm sorry if I get loud, but church, I am passionate. I just returned from Pakistan 2 weeks ago, where we were preaching to thousands and thousands of people. And they were coming to accept Christ. And over there, it's not some little nonchalant little decision that they make, because they can be murdered for their faith. They will be persecuted for their faith. Yet we saw thousands of them make a commitment to Christ. I met one family that had been Muslim, and they chose to accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And they were telling me about the persecution that they were experiencing. And my heart broke for them. They had several daughters that were working age, and they couldn't find a good job. No one would hire them simply because they were Christian. Church, we have it so good in this nation. But I shared all that to show you the reality. When Jesus comes into your heart and into your life, it transforms you. you will never be the same again. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, do I have to quit doing certain things that I know they probably don't line up with the Bible? And do I have to clean up my act to come to Jesus? No. You come to Jesus with every bit of your sin. He paid for everything on the cross. Amen? And the blood of Jesus is greater than all your sin. You don't clean yourself up. You come to Him and He cleanses us. He works in us. He gives us the desire to live holy and to live righteous and to live in victory and triumph and power. It's His Spirit working in us. So I invite you, if you've never made that commitment to Jesus today, say yes to Him and experience the presence and the power of the true and the living God in your heart and life. Let Him transform you. Bring all of your junk with you, because none of your junk scares Him. Amen. Because the truth be known, every one of us has junk. Every one of us has fallen into sin. Every one of us has failed. But the truth is, Jesus died on the cross. He took all of our sin, every single thing. And God the Father, He says, as a judge, the gavel comes down. He says, you're justified. He declares us innocent as if we had never, ever sinned. Because all of our sin was on Jesus on the cross. Amen. All of it. It doesn't matter what you've done. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Jesus' blood is greater. I've been in jail. I've talked to men that had murdered people and raped people and done all kind of horrible things. And I looked them right in the eye and I said, if you're serious with Jesus, He will remove that from your life and He will cleanse you and restore you and you'll never be the same again. It doesn't matter how bad things have been in our past. It doesn't matter what we've given our lives over to, immorality or drugs or alcohol or thieving or stealing or whatever we've done. The blood of Jesus is greater than all today. Hallelujah. And the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection declares He accomplished everything that was needed to set you free and to cleanse you. The resurrection today, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. We're going to have a baptismal in just a moment. Anyone that's being baptized today, slip out and go back to the baptistry. And I want to ask the worship team to come. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me today. As a pastor, I see time and time again where the spirit of death tries to seep in and take hold in families, to take hold in marriages, to come and to take hold in lives with sickness and disease. But church, I want you to experience the life that Jesus promised us. Because I live, you shall live also. And if there's an area in your life today where that spirit of death is attacking, it's trying to seep in, I want you to give that area to Jesus today. And if you have never made a commitment to Christ, I want to invite you to do just that today. I want you to say yes to Jesus. I want you to ask Him to come into your life, to be your Lord, to be your Savior. So as the worship team begins to play some music softly, I want you just to bow your heads with me for just a moment. I'm not wanting to embarrass anyone here today, but I want to give everyone an opportunity. If you've never said yes to Jesus, I want to pray for you today. And I'm going to ask you just to look up at me and make eye contact, because there's a scripture that says, where any two agree is touching anything on earth, whatsoever they shall ask of the Father in heaven, it shall be done. So by lifting your head and making eye contact with me, you're coming in agreement with me that you're going to accept Jesus Christ today. That you're asking Him to forgive you of all your sins, to cleanse you, to be your Lord, to be your Savior. And you're receiving today that Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're receiving the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and into your life and set you free from the law of sin and death. And I want you to continue to look at me until I acknowledge you today. So, yes, I see those eyes. Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes. 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 Yes, thank you. Yes. Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you. For all those that are in the balcony today, I come in agreement with you too. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, I just come in agreement with everyone that I just made eye contact with today. Lord, we come to you and we're not perfect. We come with junk. We come with mistakes. We come with failures. We come with sin. But Lord, we come to you right now. We surrender our hearts and our lives to you. We declare our faith and trust in you. Lord, we come in agreement. And Lord, we welcome you to come into our lives, to be our Lord, to be our Savior. We are, Lord, dedicating ourselves to be followers of Jesus today. And Lord, right now, I ask that the Holy Spirit of God just enter into everyone that's made that decision today. Lord, that they would begin to experience the law of the life in Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would receive you. And Lord, they would receive that Holy Spirit power to live in triumph, to live in victory. And Lord, wherever there is death in our lives, Lord, everyone that's here, Lord, wherever there's death, if it's in a marriage, if it's in a physical body, if it's in, Lord, a relationship at work, if it's in our business, if it's in our finances, Lord, wherever death is trying to seep in, Lord, we ask you to breathe life, and overcome the spirit of death. Lord, we thank you that because you live, we shall live also, that the resurrection is not just for the future and the hope of glory in heaven with you one day. But Lord, it is for now. It is for this moment. It's for this present time, Lord, that we can live in the victory of Jesus. So Lord, I speak life wherever death is coming against your people. I speak life into those marriages. I speak life into those relationships. I speak life into the finances. I speak life into those jobs and into those businesses. Lord, wherever death is coming, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and I speak life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. How many received that today? Amen. You want life in Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you to be seated. We have just a few candidates that we want to celebrate.
Baptism testifies of a new life, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it gives public witness to our identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It declares our allegiance to Christ. It also, water baptism indicates the seriousness of our commitment to Jesus. And water baptism is an act of obedience to our newfound Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. So this is Melania. Do you want to say anything, Melania? Not really? Okay. She's just ready to do it, you know? All right. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Okay. So upon your confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Of the Savior's death, and you're raised in the likeness of the Savior's resurrection to walk into new life.
Just amen. That way. Amen. See?
And then we have, coming slowly, Eliana. So this is Eliana. Do you want to say anything? No? Okay. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Okay. So, upon your confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of the Savior's death and raised in the likeness of the Savior's resurrection to walk into new life. We have Addie. Taller than me. See how this goes. Okay. Do you want to say anything, Addie? No? Okay. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Okay. So upon your confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of the Savior's death and raised in the likeness of the Savior's resurrection to walk into new life. Stand on the side of me. All right. Do you want to say anything? No? Okay. And have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Okay, so let's get this way so I don't hit you on the stairs. All right. So upon your confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of the Savior's death and raised in the likeness of the Savior's resurrection to walk in the newness of life.
Last and not least, we got Stephen here.
I have a horribly long way to go before I'm able to see my baby boy in the kingdom of God once again. All I ask is for God to cleanse me and make me a better father than I was before.
And you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
So, upon your confession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the resurrection of his life.
Woo! Amen. Wasn't that awesome?
Oh, there's one more. Josh, I ask you.
Okay. It's on.
Okay, we have one more. Come get back in, you know? It's great. It's awesome. People want to be baptized. All right, so this is Dana.
Yeah.
And she wants to be rebaptized. So if you want to slide over on this side. All right. So, did you want to say anything, Dana? No?
I love Jesus. I love Jesus.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. And you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Okay. Well, upon your confession of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I will baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of the Savior's death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in new life.
Sure there's not any more in there hiding? Well, praise the Lord.
And we have one more thing. The students prepared an Easter video. And so before we leave, they want you to see all their hard work. And so I think they're ready to show that.
Welcome to Mid-Midnight with Summit Youth.
Okay.
Guest stars, Mary and Mary. Thomas the Doubter, guards from the tomb, and the one and only Jesus Christ. And now for our host, Joshua Welch. Take it away, Josh.
Tonight for my first two guests are going to be the two Marys. Come on in, ladies. Just have a seat for me real quick. How you guys doing? Good? So you're not very talkative, that's okay. So, like, what was your guys' experience going to the tomb or something like that? Whoa! Okay. One Mary at a time, please. Who wants to go first? Who was Jesus' mom?
Me.
Cool. What about you, sir?
We were going to the tomb with some spices because, you know, dead bodies stink sometimes.
Like the boys' dorm at summer camp.
Yeah, I know what that smells like. I have my own experiences with that. Anyway, so you guys get to the tomb. Like, what else was going on when you guys went there?
We saw a gardener with a wheelbarrow and figured, hey, he took the body.
So, like the game of Clue.
Yeah, the game. With the gardener, the tomb, and the wheelbarrow.
Well, that kind of makes up for a pretty rough day. Thank you, ladies. So that's it for our Mary and Mary interview. Everybody give them a round of applause. So for our next guest tonight, we have the infamous Thomas the Doubter. Come on and have a seat, buddy. So how's it going, TD? Can I call you that?
No.
So what was your experience with really with this whole Jesus raising from the dead thing?
I mean, I just don't think, like, we all saw him die, okay?
Yeah.
Like both of the Marys, like everyone who was there, like everyone saw it. There's no way that he can come up from the dead.
Well, of course,
like,
of course.
Like, it's not possible.
Uh-huh. So, like, what made you not want to believe? Didn't he say he was going to come back?
Yeah. And, I mean, I thought they were a little crazy. But
sounds, like, pretty crazy to me. What happened next?
Jesus just showed up in the room, and I was like, nah, man, that's just Pete. Like,
is he good at his Jesus impressions?
No. Well, I mean, after seeing the holes in his hands, I knew it was him.
Like, all right, well, thank you, TD, my man, for coming on the show with me. Mm-hmm. I'll catch you later, brother. And that's the wrong way, man. So for our next guest, we have two guards from the tomb of Jesus. Come on, guys. Yeah. Wow. You guys are as professional as bodyguards. So how was it knowing you were guarding the tomb of Jesus?
At first, it was pretty lame because being a guard doesn't pay you enough.
That earthquake, though, man, that was scary. It's even if you're from Alaska.
Pretty bizarre.
After the quake, the stone rolled away.
And then an angel appeared, and the body was gone.
Wow. That must have been an eventful moment. What happened next?
So our boss wanted to talk to us and give us a bonus.
Wish I got one of those.
But only if we admitted that the body was snatched.
Well, that's a great story. Well, thank you guys. I hope you guys have a good rest of your night. Everybody give it up for the two guards from the tomb. So for our last guest tonight, we have the one and the only Jesus Christ. He carried in with us. Really big bodyguard. Holy moly. Can I shake your hand? It's just so nice to meet you. Thank you, sir. Nice time. So what was your initial first reaction of people reacting to you?
Well, I told everyone that I was going to be back, but you know how critics are. And they were like, yeah, right, Jesus.
So what's next in the big plan, JC?
Well, I'm coming back for a short time. People are going to be tripping. But I have to leave because the father has some big plans for me.
Wow. He's got it. Okay. Thank you. What's that guy's name?
Security guard.
So that sounds interesting. So what kind of plans?
Well, you know my dad. He's all secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I can tell you is that I'm sending in a helper to help you humans because you guys really need help.
Very cool. Well, that's it for us tonight with the Midnight with Summit Youth. I am Joshua Welch, and Jesus, thank you. We'll see you guys next time.
Let's stand together. Let's all stand. I'm glad that the youth wanted to take part, aren't you? Well, God bless you. May He protect you and keep His glory surrounding you. And may you leave today knowing how much that Jesus loves you and cares about you. And may you walk out of this building knowing that you have triumph, not just a tradition. Amen. Shake hands with somebody and greet them as you leave today. Tell them you're glad to see them in the Lord's house. And happy Resurrection Sunday.
I've got a praise that will break off heavy chains. Got a song that makes hell begin to shake. Got a shout that brings dead men from their graves. Can let it out, can let it out.